The question today is, what would it take for me to be saved? That question came to us by email, and I'd like to deal with it a little bit today on this answer to this question I'll ask the pastor. First of all, you've got to be lost before that you can ever be saved. And somebody said, well, if you're not saved, you're lost. Well, there's a sense you're safe till you reach the knowledge of accountability. Now, I don't know where the knowledge of accountability is, but I know that you're accountable when God says you're accountable. We do know the only place we have it in the Bible is Deuteronomy 1:39, where it's dealing with those at Kadesh Barnea who were 20 year old and under. And he said they were not accountable, and since they didn't die because they had no knowledge of good and evil. And so as a result, they had not yet reached the knowledge of accountability. And there, the Bible sets it at 20 years old. Now, I'm not saying it's a certain age. I'm just saying it's not an age of accountability. It's knowledge of good and evil, not right and wrong, but good and evil. Now, we've dealt with that in other questions before in depth, so you can look that up on the website, or you can call us, write us, or whatever, and we'd be glad to send you a tape concerning that. But you're safe till you reach the knowledge of accountability. And the moment that you reach the knowledge of accountability, and I don't imagine that anybody knows exactly the moment they reach it, but God does, then you're responsible for your own sin. You're subject to being you're lost. You're separated from God. And you may not even know that. You may not even recognize that. You may not have enough information to even be convicted of that. But you're lost, and therefore, but you still, before you can ever be saved, you've got to come to the place to where lostness becomes a reality in your life. Now, many people say, well, I'm not a sinner. Therefore, I'm a sinner. Therefore, I'm not saved. So I'm a sinner. Therefore, I must be lost. And they've said, well, I'm lost. And yet they've never even had the revelation of the fact. They just took inductive and deductive reasoning and tried to figure out where they're at. And by their figuring, they say, well, I'm lost. And I'm not saved. Well, that may be so in one sense. But until you get to the place that you are, that God shows you you're lost. It's not something that I tell you or any other preacher tells you or tells you it's time for you to be saved or those type of things. It's you've got to get to that place to where you are, the reality of lostness sets in on you. And that's separation from God. That's what lostness means. And it's got to be there in your life so that you might deal with, seek the Lord with all your heart. You'll never seek Him until you get to along that line that God deals. And so you've got to be lost. What would it take for me to be saved? And that question is personal. I understand that. But you can apply it to yourself. You're listening today. You must first be lost. You've got to be lost. There's no way you can be saved until you're lost, because the Bible says, Luke 19:10, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so, therefore, God must deal with you and bring you to that place of lostness, where you recognize, and not only recognize, but realize your separation from God. I'll tell you something else that a person has to have before they can ever be saved. They've got to have some understanding about themselves, about the Savior, about the Word of God. Enough. Now, how much understanding? You don't have to know all about the Word of God completely, but you've got to know enough of what He said, the Holy Spirit, in John 16:8, 9, 10, and 11. When He's come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So therefore, there must be some understanding about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. We know there has to be understanding for a person to be saved because of the fact, and I know people today will try to tell you that God doesn't show a lost person anything. Well, that just shows you how ignorant they are of the Scripture. The Bible tells us about the parable of the sower, the seed, or whatever you'd want to call it in Matthew 13. We know the wayside. The Bible says about the wayside here that says, when one heareth the word of the kingdom, verse 19 of Matthew 13, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, that is he which received seed by the wayside. So he didn't understand, and he's not saved. The devil stole the seed away. And then you read about the stony ground and the good ground, and it says nothing. There's no understanding there like there should be in those two ground, the thorny ground, but the good ground. The good ground, verse 23 said, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And so there's got to be some understanding in your life for your ground, your heart, to be good ground. And that takes understanding about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. So you see, when we think about the understanding, what would it take for me to be saved? How much understanding you have? See, that all depends on what your upbringing. That depends on what you've been taught. How much of it you embraced. Because the devil stole the seed all along your life as an early age and tried to keep you from being saved. And he didn't want that seed to find lodging. So upbringing has an effect. That's why it's important to teach your children the Word of God and the things of God. Keep it ever before them. Put it on the doorpost and night and day and keep it before them. Because if you don't, their chances of being saved are slim, slim, slim. And so you need to do that so that they can have the understanding about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And by the way, it's not just of sin. See, some people say, well, you've got to deal with sin. Well, there's 726 sins listed in the Bible according to what some theologians say. I've not counted them and don't want to even try to count them. But I know there's a bunch of sins. But you see, the devil, he can keep you busy trying to work on sins. That's just the fruit of the root of the tree. The tree is producing sins, in a sense, and the root of the tree is unbelief, and you've got to deal with that unbelief. Now, some people say, well, I just don't want you to repent of unbelief. You've got to repent. Well, if you repent of unbelief, you'll repent of lying, stealing, drinking, adultery, and murder, and such like, and all the other 721 of those sins, that you'll have repentance worked in your heart. And so the Bible even says in John chapter 16, verse number 9, of sin, singular, because they believe not on me. A little word on means to come to a point, place, and a time with a purpose, and you'll never come to that place without a work of God being done in your heart. So what would it take for me to be saved? You must be lost. You must have understanding. The Lord's got to give you enough understanding about sin, about righteousness. A sin's unbelief. Righteousness is Jesus. And you need to know who He is. And he that hath the Son hath light. He that hath not the Son of God hath not light. You could replace that with the word righteousness, because 1 Corinthians 1:30 said that He's been made unto us righteousness. And therefore, we must have some understanding about who really Jesus is. Now, most of us, all we grew up with was a preconceived ideas about Jesus. We know some facts about Jesus, and we heard the Bible stories in early days, and some of them wasn't even true in Scripture. We saw pictures, so-called, of Jesus, and they're portraying the wrong thing, the wrong image of our Lord and Savior. But still, we must have some understanding, and Jesus is hidden in the bosom of the Father. He is the righteousness that God requires for us to enter heaven. And He's hidden in the bosom of the Father, and the only way we'll ever see Jesus, if you please, is for the Holy Spirit to reveal Him to us. And so you've got to have some understanding about righteousness. Not only righteousness, but you need understanding about sin, but you need understanding also about judgment. Now, judgment, we think about the fact that that's hell, and that is hell. That's the beginning of the wrath of God. And, of course, it'll culminate in the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment. And as a result, you need to have some understanding about that. Now, God does not save you just to keep you out of hell. Some people say, well, I had a fear of hell. I didn't want to go to hell, so I come and ask Jesus in my heart. Folks, that's not salvation. That's not completed work. You've got to have some understanding about judgment. Yes, you need to know there's a hell. There's a reality of hell. And without you trusting Jesus as Lord, and that's not something you do on your own, that's a work of God in your heart. Without you doing that, though, you'll spend an eternity in hell and then in the lake of fire. And so you need to have some understanding. So what would it take for me to be saved? You must be lost. You must have some understanding. And then you need to seek the Lord. Sometimes you said, well, the Bible said in Romans 3 that no man seeks after God. Well, that's true as far as the natural man's concerned. But when God comes and begins to stir in you and awakens you to your need and awakens you to His, what He wants to do for you, whatever you want to call those terms, it's when there's a stirring. It's like a conception that before birth comes, there's got to be a conception. There's got to be awakening. And when God's Spirit comes and awakens you, then you begin to seek the Lord. You're not natural anymore. You're seeking the Lord. And the Bible says you must seek Him with all your heart. If you do, you'll find Him. In fact, the business Jesus said in Luke 13:24, strive to enter in the straight gate. That means you're not yet through the straight gate, and you need to enter in. But He said, for many are going to seek, and yet not be able to enter. Why? That's not works for salvation. It's just the fact that you're going to have to strive to overcome the obstacles that flesh, the world, and the devil sets in front of you. And it's going to take some seeking. That's searching after. That's more than just a casually seeking the Lord. It's an intensive seeking. In fact, the Bible even talks about the kingdom of God is taken by force. He speaks of that. And so when you turn from the broad way to the narrow way, and that narrow way leads to the straight gate, God begins to teach you and give you the understanding you need, know, and let reveal to you your real condition. Maybe a revelation at first, but then to come the reality of the lostness. And then, of course, he'll show you you need to seek the Lord with all your heart. And that's a hard thing to do. But yet, even when it's all done, you'll not brag about your seeking. You'll not brag about what you've done. You'll just brag on the Lord who enabled you to seek. He's the one who showed you that you were lost. He's the one who gives you the understanding. And he's the one who will enable you to seek. So you need to realize that. Now, you say, but preacher, how long does all this take? I'm not saying it takes all that long. I don't know how long it takes. It takes long enough for all this to work. And it's got to be then. I come to the place, what would it take for me to be saved? You must be lost. You must have some understanding. You must seek. And you must have a completed work of the Holy Ghost conviction. We've dealt with that in previous broadcasts, but I'll deal with it some more today. And even in the next part of this, I'll deal with that. But the thing about it is you must have a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction. Now, the problem today, too many preachers are have short-circuited the work of the Holy Ghost. They've tried to pray Holy Ghost themselves. And what they've done, they've made people believe in a word-only salvation experience and ask Jesus in your heart and that type of thing. And they've gave them an easy believism fix. They've named it and claimed it by reaching out to some verse somewhere and said, that's mine. And as a result, they've gotten in trouble. They're up and down. They're in upheaval. They think they're saved because the preacher told them they were. And that's not where it comes from. Assurance comes from the gospels preached in power, Holy Ghost and much assurance, the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. So therefore, there must be a completed work, and all preachers need to keep their hand off of you if you're ever going to be saved. You're going to have to be saved by letting the Lord do a complete work of Holy Ghost conviction in your heart. I'll try to pick up with this on the next broadcast and deal with part two. This is part one of the question, what would it take for me to be saved? I invite you to send your questions to me. I know we deal with specifics, but many people don't even know how to measure their salvation because they don't know the specifics of salvation. But folks, the Bible is right. Now, all preachers may be wrong, but the Bible is right, and whatever God says is true, and it'll bring it to pass just like what He said. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.